Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 4. Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. Thank you so much for joining me here for episode number 4.
Yay!
Okay, so today's episode is super exciting. Not only am I having way more fun with my soundboard than any adult should be having, but I also have the opportunity to speak with Pat Flynn, guys. Pat Flynn of Smart Passive Income is on the show today. Pat was kind enough to share some time with us this week to talk about how he got started. I wanted for you guys to hear from Pat because Pat is really the man that started it all for me in terms of building a business online. Pat is a 30-year-old dude from Southern California who found a way to create a viable income online from something that he was passionate about. Without any further delay, guys, I present to you my guest, host of Smart Passive Income, and the man who likes to color outside the lines, Pat Flynn. Pat, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love to talk to other people about this stuff, and you know, the more opportunities, the better.
Certainly. So our show is designed to assist entrepreneurs with hearing the journey of other entrepreneurs and let them delve into what the pain is that other entrepreneurs experience so that they can hopefully derive a new business idea from the pain in an industry that they may not have been thinking of initially. But before we get into the pain in the industry, we'd love to hear a story of how it is that you once saw the future before Smart Passive Income, before you began branding yourself, before you actually began your business online. I know you were studying the in architecture, but you know, how did you imagine the life to be prior to actually studying for your exams?
Yeah, well, you know, I graduated from UC Berkeley with a degree in architecture, and that is what I envisioned the rest of my life to be. I was so ready to dedicate 40 years to this industry to hopefully change it and make it awesome and, you know, put my own spin onto it. And, you know, so I was working hard. I was working really hard. And I was very lucky through a connection in the marching band to get a job right out of college in a wonderful firm in the Bay Area. And I got put on some amazing jobs. It just fueled the fire even more for my love for this industry of architecture. And, you know, I was putting away money for my 401k. I was doing all the right things, you know, following my father's path. You know, he worked for the same job for, you know, he worked for the same company for 40 years and retired, and he was able to support myself and my family, and I wanted to do the same for mine. And I knew that if I had a secure job and I worked really hard, that I would be able to do that. And it was going well. I worked for an architecture firm for 3 to 4 years, and looking back, it was actually very fortunate, but I got laid off in 2008, and right. It was interesting because right before that, March of 2008, I proposed to my girlfriend and she said yes. And I was like,
yay,
this is perfect. Like, okay, everything is in the right order. It's going well. I just got promoted. And then I just, asked my girlfriend to marry me and yes. And then we were going to have kids and we were going to go live together somewhere. And, you know, we both have our own jobs and, you know, we would just live that American dream in that way.
Right.
But when I got laid off, it was just like, you got to rethink your plans here for a little bit because we're not going to allow you to be in the industry that you had worked so hard to be in. And that was tough. You know, I was depressed for a little bit. And luckily, my fiance was incredibly supportive. My family was very supportive. And, you know, it just so happened that I had a website that I had built to help me pass this exam that you were talking about, the LEED exam. And, you know, I had no use for it anymore at the time because I had passed that exam. I had built it just to study for it. And that's when I discovered podcasts. And I discovered one called Internet Business Mastery, where I listened to this guy tell his story on the show about how he was helping people pass the project management exam and making six figures a year doing that. And it just blew me away. And I was like, wait a sec, I have a site that can help people pass the lead exam. I wonder if it could, you know, even if I were to get half of what he got, or even a quarter, it would be something at least. Right. And the really interesting part was when I put an analytical tool on the site to keep track of the traffic, there were literally 5,000-6,000 people a day visiting the site already. And I had no idea. I still don't know how long people were visiting the site for, because I hadn't had the need to keep track of it until then.
Right.
And so, long story short, I ended up publishing an ebook study guide for the people who were coming to my site, and that did really well. In October of 2008, I had made $7,908.55 from a $19.99 ebook. And So it just blew me away. It changed my whole perception of what online business was, because before that it was sort of like, oh, this is a little scammy. But here I was doing it and providing value. But not only that, people were sending me incredible messages of thanks for the work that I was doing. And a number of people actually who bought the book didn't even need it. They said, Pat, we already passed the exam months ago, but we wanted to buy the book anyway because we needed a way to pay you back for all that you did. And I was like, wow, this is like incredible. Like I was like, this is it. This is how business should be done. And whenever I thought about any companies I loved working with, or, you know, in the architecture industry, or any companies that I ended up buying things from, it was always those companies who were worried about me and what I needed first, that I loved to purchase from over and over and over again. And I was like, wow, this is how to do it. And so that's when I started smartpassiveincome.com with the same sort of philosophy. I've since created many more businesses with the same philosophy. Just give, 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 serve your audience. And when you serve your audience, they will somehow, in some way, in some way, shape, or form, maybe not immediately, but at some point will repay you. And it's just amazing.
Precisely. No, it's an amazing thing. And I want for the audience to hear that. It is very scary when you first look at starting business online, because there are so many things out there that are scammy. You know, there's and back, you know, when I initially began looking at the internet, you know, and things to do in terms of base, you know, home-based work or business type things of that sort. You know, of course, this was back in the 90s, but I'm not going to date myself right now. So there were a million scams out there, and making money online was not something that seemed to be a reality. And that's why, you know, for instance, with myself having run into your podcast, the explanations and the information that you provide, Pat, on every bit of information that you provide, the amount of quality and service that you give to everyone is amazing. And it was proof positive that there are real people out there actually taking the time to make the effort to build a business based off of their own passion and have the ability to succeed. It's huge. It's huge. It's something that is not readily available for everyone to understand and recognize on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, having people like yourself broadcast on a regular basis and put information out there, you know, when you began publishing your income report, I think that opened a lot of entrepreneurs' eyes, you know, in many, many ways. And what you've been capable of accomplishing through providing the service, and that's what it's all about. It's giving back in order for people to understand, you know, just sharing your knowledge and information. And that's what I'm hoping to do here with the podcast, is to share knowledge and information that, you know, people aren't coming across on their own on a regular basis. There are so many things, you know, information that you provide, and it's so sweet the way you close out your explanations of yourself on your site and explaining how much of it can readily be found on the internet. And it can, you know, we're not providing information that's rocket science. We're not rocket scientists, But the collection, the information that you choose to provide to the audience because you take the time to listen is so invaluable. It's priceless, and it's very much so appreciated.
My pleasure, absolutely. I mean, people are like, wow, how do you come up with all this great content? I'm like, I just listen to my audience, right? It's all coming from all of you out there. So, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at without my audience. And that's why I do what I can to serve them, because then it always keeps coming back in one way, shape, or form, like I had mentioned. And it's just, you know, I wasn't always good at presenting information. I just sort of learned over time. And, you know, this online business success stuff, entrepreneurship, it's not an overnight success at all. And anytime you hear that, that's when the red flag should go up for you, you know, those alerts, and because it's not true. And you ask any successful entrepreneur out there, was this easy for you? They're all, if they're honest with you, they're going to say, no way.
No.
If you ask any of them, did you do this all on your own? You'd hear, nope. And I will tell you that I've had a lot of help along the way, and I've asked for a lot of help along the way. And that was something big I actually had to get over, was I wanted to try and figure everything out on my own at the beginning. Even like the coding on the website and stuff, like I would spend hours watching YouTube and trying to learn new languages and trying to do all the stuff that, you know, looking back, I thought was, you know, it's silly that I tried to do everything on my own. And it was just my own manly pride that was getting in the way. And you know, there's a lot of people out there who are willing to help, who remember where you were back, you know, where you were when they were back in that situation, and who are always willing to even spend just a few minutes. You just have to ask, and what's the worst that can happen? They'll say no, but at least you gave it a shot.
Exactly. Aside from the fear, what did you find to be one of the most difficult parts of becoming an entrepreneur and actually taking that leap?
Sure. Well, I mean, the list can go on forever. I mean, we only have so many minutes to talk about the struggles and issues and stuff. There is a lot of them, so I'm trying to figure out where to start exactly. I mean, the technical aspect was very intimidating, you know, trying to set things up in a way where the ideas in my head could be best presented online. It wasn't always easy. You know, I wanted it to look a certain way, but I didn't know how to make it look a certain way. And that's where, like I just mentioned, I would spend hours trying to figure it out. And it wasn't until actually just recently, you know, 5-6 years after doing business, that I finally am getting in tune with what it's like to hire other people to help me. And it's just been amazing what I've been able to accomplish, because when you hire help, it's almost like, you know, you're cloning yourself over and over and over again, because there's only a certain amount of hours in a day, but there's a lot of people out there that can help you. And so, you know, it might take a little bit of an investment, and maybe not. Like, a lot of the help I got in the beginning was from friends or people who I could help pro bono, you know, do something for them, and they would do something for me too. So that was a big challenge with the technical stuff. Another big challenge was, you know, in terms of productivity, you know, trying to find the right time to do it. We're trying to find time to fit it in, I guess you could say. You know, luckily I had got to the point where I was getting laid off, so, you know, I didn't really care. So I just actually started working on this stuff while working at my office, which, what were they going to do, fire me? Like, they had already kind of done that. So, I found time. But, you know, the advice I give to people now who are like, I don't have the time, it's like, do you really not have the time? Like, list out everything you do, and are there sacrifices that you can make? And there will be sacrifices you have to make. You know, make sure you keep what's important in your life. Like, I wouldn't sacrifice time with my kids to work on a business, but I would sacrifice sleep, and I have. I would sacrifice watching television, and I have. Doing things like that, you know, knowing that if I work hard now, I will have time later to do those things. And those aren't things that I need to do right now. Right now, my kids are growing up. They're 1 and 4. I need to be with them now, because they're not going to be there forever.
Exactly.
But along the same lines, I need to work on my business now, because the opportunities are presented to me and I have to take advantage of them. And it's not just going to happen with a snap of a finger. I have to put in the work. And so I'm investing time up front now, sacrificing time for other things that I'd like to do as well. But, you know, I also enjoy what I do too. So it doesn't even feel like work, you know?
No, it doesn't.
there's some advice in the personal finance industry that you may have heard before, is pay yourself first. When you get paid, you know, instead of paying all your bills and just giving yourself, you know, whatever's left over to put in your savings, put in your savings first and then pay off your bills. And that sort of philosophy can work with trying to find time to do business. Instead of you know, working for somebody else, and then all of a sudden at the end of the day trying to fit in your own stuff. Why don't you wake up a little earlier and do your stuff first? You'll be more motivated, you'll have more energy, and then you can go to your job, and then by the end of the day you can cool down a little bit. But I think most people who are trying to find time should try to put that in the beginning and pay themselves first. That I think that would be huge for people. Another big struggle was actually turning it off sometimes, turning off the entrepreneurial bug. This was a big problem for my wife and I actually when we first started. I was just thinking about the business all the time, like even in the middle of conversations sometimes, which is completely unfair. And it's funny because one time she had caught me, like we were having a conversation and, you know, her mouth was moving, but I wasn't really paying attention. And I don't know if I had just dazed off or whatever, or maybe just didn't answer after she asked a question. But then she was like, "You're thinking about your business right now, aren't you?" And I was like, you know, I'm a typical guy. I'm like, "No, no." And she's like, "Well, what did I just say?" And I'm like, "You said you're thinking about your business, aren't you?" And then
I love that bad. You're killing me.
And then she's like, "No, before that." And of course, I was like, "I don't know." And so that led to some really heated conversations about, like, you know, when am I working and where am I working and how will she know when I'm working or when she can interrupt me? And so that led to creating a schedule and understanding that even though I'm not in the 9-to-5 anymore, and we always say, let's break away from the 9-to-5, you still need a schedule so you know when to turn off. And so that was a big thing. And also having a physical space, like an office or a space in the apartment or house to do the work, where if I'm sitting there, that's work time. If I'm not, then I can mentally check out as well. So those were some of the big struggles as well. You know, obviously the fears, like you said earlier, one of the biggest fears was just figuring out after I had a product, well, how am I going to sell this thing? And that actually stopped me from creating the product at first. You know, I knew I had to write this ebook, this study guide. I was told by, you know, unofficial mentors and people in my mastermind group to do that. Okay, you need to write this book and then sell it. I'm like, okay, I don't even know how to sell any. I don't even know how to sell anything. Like, how am I going to do that? And that held me back for weeks trying to figure that out, doing all the research, which stopped me from writing my book. So I learned to start taking things one at a time. And it was really clear in that regard, you know, write the book and then figure out how to sell it, because you're not going to need to figure out how to sell something if you don't have anything to sell. So, and I knew that if I had completed that book, for example, I would be completely motivated to find the right solutions. And actually, the solution came from asking. So that's that. There are times now when I have all these different things that are pulling me, which in every way direction, every idea that comes into my head, I want to do. Like, I want to do everything that comes in my head. And it's hard because I know if I do that, I'm not going to get anything done.
Right.
So one of the biggest struggles that I have now is just understanding, okay, well, what is my next priority? What is the priority right now? Because once I figure that out, everything else can disappear for some few moments so I can just focus. And then within that one project, what within that one project is my next focus? And you know, trying to make sure that I'm always there is when I know I'm getting things done.
Certainly. I'm hearing it evolve from you, from what you're explaining, is that one of the things that you're really struggling with is kind of prioritizing the projects and then the pieces of projects within, you know, the projects themselves when you're looking at those things. And as you know, the show is designed to help entrepreneurs come up with ideas for innovative companies to help solve the pain in the industry. So I'm thinking, have you at all found any sort of technology that has assisted you with prioritizing those pieces, you know, or that pain in terms of choosing those projects or those pieces of the projects? And if you have, and there's some other pain in the industry that you feel really impacts you on a day-to-day basis, and you had a magic wand and could change anything about the business, what would it be that you would choose to change and why?
Fantastic question. So sort of the first part, talking about what we just talked about in terms of the project prioritization and what to do within those projects. There are tools out there that sort of help, but I haven't really found anything, you know, for me. And it's really honestly what I do now is I have physical folders that I have for each of these projects. And I can, you know, what's nice about that is I can see them and I can stack them on top of each other. And, you know, I don't see everything else. I just see that one folder that's in front of me and I open it and that's the list of things I have to do. So there's a couple of different elements to that. The first thing is just understanding, well, okay, which projects to prioritize. And it would be really cool if there was some way to get some sort of metrics involved or surveys or some way to put a value to each of those projects. You know what I mean? Somehow rank them against each other based on my goals, perhaps based on, you know, I love math. I love analytics. If there was a way to analyze and keep statistics and surveys and data for each of those projects or put them through some sort of, you know,
filter
exactly, or a test, I'd be able to be like, okay, well, these are my business goals and these are my ideas. This idea obviously is the first one I should do because it's going to make the most impact. So that would be cool if that existed. I don't know anything like that exists right now.
Well, that's why somebody has to now go create it. Listeners, I hope you heard it.
Yeah, what those metrics are, I'm not exactly sure. You know, they could range from, you know, gut feeling to what other people are saying or, you know, how big the industry is and all sorts of things. So that's cool. And then the other thing within those projects is just understanding the order. And I think that's more of a personal thing that people can choose how to figure that out, or they kind of know the idea of things. But, you know, I'm going to switch to a different thing that doesn't exist yet, that I really wish did exist, was some sort of, you know, iTunes just hides everything. You know, if there was some way to get involved with iTunes in terms of discovering downloads or how the ranking systems work, or, you know, more data and metrics on that, because podcasting is huge for me, right? It's done wonders, but it's still a mystery to a lot of people, including me, in terms of exactly how it works. And, you know, Google's very good at sort of revealing, like how many people type in keywords and stuff. Like if that stuff was available for iTunes, like that would be huge. I don't know how possible that is. I mean, they're obviously very secretive about it right now, but, you know, it doesn't even necessarily have to be the exact numbers, but a way to perhaps analyze the rankings of the shows versus the keywords that they have in their description. I don't know exactly, but I just want more information about my podcast or other podcasts so I know what shows to create, what, you know, category to be in, you know, who my competition is, all that stuff.
Right. No, I completely understand the ability to honestly understand what your podcast or any podcast is doing in the iTunes ranking system is probably the most difficult thing, and I have yet to figure that out myself, Pat. So I'm glad you haven't, and I'm glad I'm not the only one. I was thinking it was because I was still a newbie that I hadn't figured that part out, but thank you.
No, thank you.
So now we have our listeners going to work to solve two different problems. At least I hope that we will have solutions to both of those in the very near future, Pat, because they would both be very, very useful. Pat, I thank you so, so very much for your time sharing your information and expertise with us this morning, or this afternoon, I should say. See, I'm still excited, Pat. I still haven't gotten over
it. Hey, it's all good. Some people might be listening to this in the morning, some in the afternoon, so you got it all covered.
See? There you go. I've covered every piece of the day. So, Pat, thank you again. I do appreciate
your
time.
Thank you for having me.
I hope everyone really enjoyed the interview today with Pat. And I hope you guys realize that the only thing stopping you from taking action is you. Get out there and do it. Create your smart passive income. You can reach out to Pat at smartpassiveincome.com, or you can always reach out to him through our show notes page at technologyequality.com/Pat Flynn. Thank you again for joining me, everyone, and until the next episode when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.